Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
Before we get started today, I want to kick things off by letting you hear the words of Congressman Adam Kinzinger.
Yesterday was a sad day, as we all know. It was the day where fire stoked by the president and other leaders finally leapt out of the pit, and it lit the trees. Thankfully, the strength of our Constitution and democracy held, and we emerged today a little battered but resolved. What happened yesterday is a wake-up call to many, but it's a call to accountability for others. In the past few presidencies, the administrations have been so concerned about even a moment of weakness that the 25th Amendment was invoked during minor surgeries, passing the duties to the vice president while the president was under anesthesia, because even for that moment to have the captain of the ship absent could cause a major catastrophe. Sadly, yesterday, it became evident that not only has the president abdicated his duty to protect the American people and the people's house, he invoked and inflamed passions that only gave fuel to the insurrection that we saw here. When pressed to move and denounce the violence, he barely did so, while of course victimizing himself and seeming to give a wink and a nod to those doing it. All indications are that the president has become unmoored, not just from his duty, nor even his oath, but from reality itself. It is for this reason that I call for the vice president and members of the cabinet to ensure the next few weeks are safe for the American people, and that we have a sane captain of the ship. Section 4 of the 25th Amendment allows a majority of the cabinet and the vice president to assume the duties of the office of presidency until the president is able to himself. It's time to invoke the 25th Amendment and to end this nightmare. We will arise from this, but we cannot forget what led us here. The liars and conspiracy authors are already at it again this morning with false narratives about yesterday's disaster. Here's the truth. The president caused this. The president is unfit, and the president is unwell. And the president must now relinquish control of the executive branch voluntarily or involuntarily. God bless you, and God bless our enduring democracy.
It's a special Thursday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have four rounds of the magazine. Round number one, you already know what we're going to talk about. Everything that happened yesterday, we are going to get into it. We're going to get down to the nitty-gritty and give you all of our thoughts on that. Round number two, we're also going to give you seven interesting facts about buttholes and butts. Because Kate is bad at handling heavy situations, there's going to be a return of Bernie Higgins, I have a feeling. Round number three, the Air Force top enlisted leader is looking into why an airman was punished for, wait for it, they were punished for trying to commit suicide. Not great. And finally, round number four, we're going to do some interesting facts about nipples because once again, Kate still feels uncomfortable. And all of that is going to be brought to you by our good friends at Roman. Roman swipes are a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, and fast-acting, and don't require a prescription. Roman can send you swipes directly in a discreet and unmarked package, and each swipe is going to be small enough to fit into your little wallet, your pocketbook, whatever. If you have your purse out and you just want to be with the ladies and have one in your pocketbook and just set it down when you're dancing, then when you're hooking up, you can get it out, swipe it on, and you'll be ready to go in no time. Go to GetRoman.com/zero. You can get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/zero. Let's get started with the show. First of all, before we get into the actual events, I want to start by just getting your general thoughts about what was going through your mind while this was all playing out, because this is one of those moments where you look back and it could be a legitimate linchpin of like what's going on and how American society goes forward. Kate, we'll start with you. What were your initial thoughts whenever you saw what was going down?
Genuine disgust, to be totally honest. Once they were inside the building, outside, do whatever you want, wave your flags around, fuck up, whatever. Once they were inside the building and lives were at risk, I just felt so, I felt honestly like rage in my heart. Like I wanted to get down there and be like, get the fuck out of this house. Like, get the fuck out. Like pork chop sandwiches, the G.I. Joe thing. Get the fuck out of here.
Holy shit. Get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out.
Man, that smelled delicious.
But also part of me, again, like this little positive force of me knows, well, it's like, we'll get through it, we'll figure it out, whatever. And I started looking immediately because everyone was covering the heavy. I started looking for the funny things in it. And Kyle had a great text to us yesterday. God, there's so many memeable photos coming out of this, but it's so serious. It's hard to like ever. But I just was looking for the little bits of humor. The Onion had a great article. Serbia deploys peacekeeping forces to US for like change of pace and all that stuff. But yeah, general disgust.
Cons?
Yeah, I just upset. You know, I think I've made it clear by now to anybody who's listened for a little while. I really am an idealist in a lot of ways. I like to think the best of people. I like to think that this country is this beacon, on the shining on the hill, and it's the greatest. And the realist in me then comes back at it and says, yeah, but we have our warts too. We have our problems. And I think that was on display in the worst way when you see these people going into our Capitol building. And for me, the Capitol building is more than just a building. I know some people will say it's four walls, brick and mortar, and that's the end of it. But for me, I like to think that it represents all the great things about this country and what this country was founded on, and the principles of what we were trying to do when this country was started, and that greatness. So to then see people desecrate it for seemingly no reason. I don't understand what the objective of going into the Capitol and breaking in and looting and taking things. I don't understand how anyone with two brain cells to rub together could say, yeah, this is going to accomplish something. So I guess all of that is just kind of just bums me out. And I don't mean to make it sound cavalier, but it's upsetting.
All right. My thoughts is that I think it is a low point of where we've been in the last 40 years. And I think the summation of when you sow something for so long, eventually you reap the bullshit that comes along with it. My feeling is I hate President Trump with the passion and the fire of 1,000 suns. I think he is a despicable piece of shit and has been for a long time. I think that the leader of the free world not coming out and having the balls to say something, to go out and wanting to do that, and then talking shit about somebody who's basically sucked your dick like a cuck in Mike Pence the entire time you've been president, I find him to be revolting and the worst of the worst as far as anything that's ever happened in America. I look at him in the same breath that I would look at Andrew Jackson, who was also a piece of shit. I think every time he's mentioned in the history books in America, it should be with a picture of his supporters replacing a fucking American flag with a Trump flag. The fact that the Confederate's battle flag was in the Capitol building yesterday and it wasn't during the Civil War is disgusting. And anybody who goes along with that movement is fucking disgusting, in my opinion. I hate it with every fiber of my being. I was trying to be calm yesterday and doing jokes. The more I thought about it over the night and I thought about it this morning, I hate it. He is the antithesis of what we serve for. The fact that they couldn't even, that the Department of Defense couldn't reach the commander in chief to get order restored in what is supposed to be the symbol of democracy in the world is beyond the pale. The fact that the 25th Amendment hasn't been invoked already is unconscionable to me. And that fact that Mick Mulvaney and all these motherfuckers, including Jim Mattis, coming out now, where the fuck were you the last 4 years? Where were you? Yeah. These people who are supposed to be leaders alongside and have great thoughts, like the Jim Mattises of the world and the John Kellys of the world, they stood by idly as well. And you still have it. Last night, despite the Capitol building being under siege, you still had pieces of shit like Matt Gaetz going out and saying it was Antifa. Shut the fuck up. Take responsibility. Take responsibility because your movement cause insurrection. They wanted to do sedition, and it was damn near treasonous.
There's just a giant lack of fear of consequence right now. And you talk about reaping what you sow. I think that is now what we've seen, that people can go out and obviously never in my wildest dreams would I ever think like I could just walk up and start breaking the windows of the Capitol and nothing would happen to me. I would think like, oh, I'll go
but
to
largely
jail.
Nothing happened.
I know that's the problem.
There's 13 arrests.
That's my point. That's the problem. The fact that these people did all this destruction and I share your sentiment, Chaps. It's upsetting to the point that evokes emotion that these people seemingly don't care. Everything they claim to prop themselves up on, that they want freedom and they don't want to lose the democracy, to then do the very things that would tear those things down. It's ironic, but at the same time, it's demoralizing as a country that these types of individuals exist. And they believe they're doing good when in fact there's no good that came of yesterday.
Yeah, and I think too, so many people are seeing the hypocrisy across the board. Like Chap said, there was barely any arrests. And comedian Tim Dillon said, listen, if the protesters look like the cast of Love and Hip Hop, they would have used thermonuclear weapons on the place. Mm-hmm. Like, he's right. I mean, look at, there's just a lot of questions coming out of this. And like Chap said too, all the people who, like Ted Cruz last night was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
What the, wow.
Him and
what?
Holly. Oh my
stop.
God.
What, everybody stop. What did it, what it's happening? Stop it. It's like, really, bro? Really? All right.
Rudy Giuliani saying that we need to have a trial by combat and then being like, I can't believe violence happened. That's not who we are.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot
of do you say that? How, trial by combat? What year is it, Rudy Giuliani?
Your little purple hands would fall off, Rudy. Cut it
out.
But I wanted to go through a timeline of events. I know a lot of people already know what happened yesterday, but as I was going through, Kyle was saying this too, I wasn't paying attention all day. And then at the end of the day, I was like, holy fuck, what the shit is happening right now? So I wanted to go through a quick timeline of events. And this is info gathered from the Associated Press, that's me, the Associated Press and multiple media reports. So on Wednesday at 6 a.m, crowds of Trump supporters estimated in the thousands prepared for a pro-Trump rally, and they began gathering the night before. A lot of people coming in. Trump tweeted about the rally saying, big protest in D.C. Be there. Be wild! Exclamation point. Around 10 a.m, Trump's Save America rally began, first with Eric and Donald Trump Jr.
Stupid fucking name. These people are goddamn idiots.
Yeah. Eric and Donald Trump Jr. and then his lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. And then President Trump started speaking right around noon. And he said, after this, we're going to walk down there and I'll be there with you. We're going to walk down to the Capitol and we are going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women. He spoke for more than an hour. At the conclusion, thousands walked to the Capitol. At 1 o'clock, lawmakers gathered for a joint session at the House of Representatives to count the electoral votes. At 1:10, rioters began grappling with police on the Capitol steps.
Oh, before you keep going, yesterday, before everything happened, they got to just make senators shut the fuck up. Like, I think if now that the Democrats are going to have control of the Senate, I wish that they would just say no, and no one's allowed to talk at all for a year. Everybody should, all the senators, all the House of Representatives, every single congressman should just go to their seat, have to sit crisscross applesauce for 50 minutes a day, and then get the fuck out. All they should do.
They have Dr. Evil up there. Shh, shh.
Cruz, shut up, Cruz. Go get a fucking haircut and shut up.
They have the dog whisper in there with a little spray bottle of water. You get sprayed or hit in the nose.
McConnell walks up. Don't even think about it. Turtle your ass back to your seat. Don't even, Elizabeth Warren, you go sit down too. Nobody's talking. Nobody. Bernie.
Nobody wants to hear about your golden retriever.
Bernie.
Bernie, stop waving that finger at me.
So less than like about 15 minutes later, 1:26 p.m., Capitol Police ordered the evacuation of the Library of Congress, the Madison Building, the Cannon House office building across from the Capitol. It's where we've done a lot of our interviews with, to make it about us. We've been there. Okay.
I did feel pretty cool yesterday when I was like, she's like, where's the tunnels? I was like, well, what you have to do is you actually have to go down. And there's been, they're actually connected. Even though you can't see it on the street, they're connected in an underground tunnel. That's where they're going.
And listen, Kate's going to leave her backpack in the one building. When you're rushing to the other, you're going to have to go back through the tunnel. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Do you think when you're like a Mike Pence or you're like the pro tempore, somebody that's actually in the chain of succession, and they are starting to usher you out, me, with how like prideful I am, I'd be like, get your fucking arm off me. I'm going to do it myself. Don't you fucking touch me. Because like the ones where people are like ushering them out, like, hurry, hurry. I don't want that. I'll usher myself out.
Yeah, I'll usher myself capable. Out. Thanks. I would have a pair of rocket skates under my desk. Anyways, 1:33 p.m., C-SPAN reports that rioters have crossed Statuary Hall, the chamber that separates the House and Senate, heading for the House and Senate. Some funny memes came out of this one. They were staying within the velvet ropes like an elementary school tour group, mm-hmm. going through the things at first. And then they started leaving the velvet ropes and carrying what looked like artifacts around. Not great. 1:40 p.m., D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser.
I did see one thing about that, about the museum artifacts. I saw a reporter who is in Baghdad, and she's Iraqi. And whenever she commented on it, she said, I feel like we need a delegation from the Iraqi army to go over to America to get these artifacts, bring them back to our museum and keep them forever.
Yeah. It's a lot of other countries having fun at our expense yesterday. Yeah. At 1:40 p.m., DC's mayor ordered citywide curfew starting at 6 p.m. And police started asking for more law enforcement reinforcements. 1:46 p.m., Representative Elaine Luria, Democrat from Vermont, tweets she is being evacuated after reports of a pipe bomb outside. 2:11 p.m., rioters breach police lines on the west side of the Capitol. Moments later, rioters scale the walls. Not to make it about us, this is only about 100 feet from where we once protested Luke Mitchell's haircut from the code. Mm-hmm. Okay, so very serious
Which
area.
Got canceled.
It did get canceled. Congrats to us.
And then I felt bad when one of the actors reached out and DM'd
Brothers in their jobs. Yeah, that made me feel bad. Sorry.
2:22 p.m. reports say VP Mike Pence has been escorted out of the Senate chamber. At 2:24 p.m., Trump tweets, Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do what should have been done to protect our country and our Constitution. By the way, he was tweeting these things from the very, very safe, nestled little egg of the White House, where apparently he was just watching this on a TV in like the dining room or something like that. To protect our country and our Constitution.
Which might have been Trump's biggest mistake of the day, going after old Pence, because Pence is fucking fed up too, from what I hear now.
Mother, he's like sick you're not going to believe what he said.
Yeah.
To protect
it's
our
like
country.
When Reek had that moment on Game of Thrones, where even though he got his dick cut off for a long time, he was like, I'm not going to take this anymore, Ramsay Bolton. You're not going to do this to me.
Mm-hmm.
You can only cut a man's dick off so many times.
Right. So he says, Trump says Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do what should have been done to protect our country and our Constitution, giving states a chance to certify a corrected set of facts, not the fraudulent or inaccurate ones, which they were asked to previously certify. USA demands the truth. Of course, pretty much all of that has been debunked and he's just lying. 2:38 p.m. Trump tweets, please support our Capitol Police and law enforcement. They are truly on the side of our country. Stay peaceful.
That makes me laugh just because, as if there's a person in the crowd that says, hold on guys, tweet break. Let's make sure nothing's been said. Let's check our marching orders here. Like, come on. What does that do? I don't understand.
2:39 p.m. rioters photographed breaking Capitol windows. And we'll get into this. People are talking about the physical security of that place. They were using plastic shields just to crack open windows and stroll on in. It was like so easy to get in there.
Kyle made a great point with that. And we later found out that was actually on the second floor, but that would be scary to think if that was on the first floor that people could just break into the Capitol through
crazy. 2:44 p.m. Shots are reported fired inside the House chamber. 2:47 p.m.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Let's pause right there. Shots fired inside the House chamber. Where are we? Would you ever expect to see that or read that or hear that in the United States of America?
Yeah. but yeah.
I'm not joking. I'm not either.
The way that the last 4 years have gone, and like whenever you are, I mean, it's like you put gasoline on wood that has been dried out for a long time, and then you start smoking and you just start flicking your matches all over the place. Eventually, when you build in a good enough site for a campfire, one's going to show up.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that the shots fired, but just like to me, again, like to have this happen inside the house, that I don't know. I'm sorry. That's just crazy to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate what you're saying. Go ahead. Sorry.
By 2:47 p.m., Huffington Post reporter tweets images of rioters at the, am I saying this right? The dais? The dais. They're in the chamber. They're in the dais there. And the place where they pound the gavel, the main, mm-hmm. wearing all sorts
the rotunda.
They're wearing all sorts of wacky costumes. 2:53 p.m., Representative Alex Mooney, Republican West Virginia, tweets he has been safely moved from the House chamber. He says others were given an escape hood, a respiratory hood, and a mask for protection in fires or chemical accidents. That's because apparently both sides had been deploying gas and other chemical stuff, supposedly, at this point. 2:55 p.m., Representative Tim Burchett, Republican Knoxville, text shots fired. 3:03 p.m., rioters photographed on the Senate floor. 3:13 p.m., Trump tweets, I am asking for everyone at the U.S. Capitol to remain peaceful. No violence. Remember, we are the party of law and order. Respect the law of our great men and women in blue. Thank you. 3:34 p.m. CBS reports a woman is in critical condition after being shot in the neck inside the Capitol. Police later report the woman died. We'll get to her in a little bit here. 3:51 p.m., the D.C. National Guard, about 1,100 troops, is mobilized to support local law enforcement. And there was a lot of confusion around that, too, all day long, all afternoon long. There seemed to be a lot of even people at the Pentagon saying, like, we don't know. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I was actually tweeting about that because President Trump is in charge of the National Guard in D.C. And this is one of the only times I've ever heard of, if you guys know of another circumstance, feel free to chime in, but whenever the vice president got with the with Nancy Pelosi and with Chuck Schumer and with Mitch McConnell, and they contacted the National Guard and the Secretary of Defense, and that's how everything happened, not Trump. Like, which that's the vice president can't make that call. He's not in the chain of command for the military at all.
Yeah. 4:05 p.m. a congressional correspondent tweets that congressional leaders are being evacuated from the Capitol. And in a video tweeted lasting over a minute, Trump says in part, I know your pain. I know you're hurt. We had an election that was stolen from us. It was a landslide election and everyone knows it, especially the other side. But you have to go home now. We have to have peace. We have to have law and order. So go home. We love you. You're very special. I know how you feel, but go home and go home in peace. I mean, each thing gets worse than the next to me. Each thing makes me more and more full of rage. I'm just keeping a light tone because hey, it's Friday, Thursday, whatever, fuck it. Some of Trump's tweets addressing the riot were later deleted. Twitter banned the president from tweeting for 12 hours, blah blah blah. The Pentagon,
I think that part is pretty funny, like that we're that's how you could stop the communication by being like, oh nope, you don't get Twitter or Facebook anymore, you can't do it.
Yeah.
We're fucking
this up enough. As darkness fell, law enforcement officers worked their way towards the protesters using percussion grenades to clear the area around the Capitol. Big clouds of tear gas were visible. Police in full riot gear moved down the steps, clashing with demonstrators. They were also going through the Capitol and clearing people out. By 8 p.m., Congress reconvened to resume counting the Electoral College votes. The 11 senators that were objecting did not object. Ted Cruz is a fuckface. Who put that in there? That was me. Overall, four people died during the violent pro-Trump protests. One woman was shot inside the Capitol. Three others died after suffering medical emergencies. The woman who died has been identified as Ashley Babbitt, an Air Force veteran from San Diego who had served for 14 years. As of this morning, Congress had certified the Biden win. So
I don't know how any of these people could look at that. The fact that four people lost their lives. Okay. I don't know how anyone there yesterday could say anything they did was worth the loss of life. That's just absolutely horrible that no one should ever have died yesterday. That's absolutely abhorrent that because of a protest, because you're upset about something, or because you just like violence and you want to cause a bunch of ruckus, that four innocent people lost their lives. Now, I don't know, beyond
they
that,
aren't
the
innocent.
One,
she was well, there. No. She was there doing it.
Well, I was just going to correct myself. Beyond the one individual, I don't know who the three are, but you know, I still don't think anyone should have lost their lives yesterday. I don't think they deserve to die.
Well, there was representatives from both sides who, from Republican, Democrat, who said we were like linking together, ready to fight tooth and nail to get out alive. And so, I mean,
yeah, I think that some of the pictures that we've seen and talked about a little bit, where they're in like the office and they have their feet kicked back and then they're carrying the little thing, like that makes it seem a little bit more cute than it actually was. The people right. who are inside the actual Capitol building while the votes were going on were huddled over each other, where the Democratic congressman who is an Army Ranger served two tours in Iraq, so that it was just like being in Iraq, like where he had a pin out ready to stab somebody in the neck to protect the congresswoman to his right, like where he actually thought, and not just him, but Adam Kinzinger, Mike Gallagher, people who've been on the show, Will Hurd, were all talking about how that scene at the Capitol reminded them of being in a combat situation where we have, and we talk about this, and it's going to be the pictures that are going to come out. It's going to make it funny. That moment of people storming in, moving past armed security and trying to get into the Capitol is very much by the definition terrorism. They were trying to stop the peaceful transition of power and the certification of the Electoral College votes. That is terrorism.
Yeah, and let's hear an audio clip from former ZBT guest and also former Marine Corps Intel Officer Representative Mike Gallagher from Wisconsin, who it looked like he put this message out from his office while it was going down yesterday. And you can hear in his voice.
He was incredible. I saw him on CNN Live while it was going on. He's incredible.
Let's play the clip.
Right now, I am sheltered in place in my office because we have protesters who have stormed the Capitol, clashing with Capitol Police, forcing their way into Statuary Hall. The Vice President of the United States was just rushed off the floor of the House by Secret Service. This is Banana Republic crap that we're watching happen right now. And the objectors over the last 2 days have told me there is no problem with just having a debate. We know we're not going to succeed, so we're just going to object. We're going to have a debate, we'll voice people's concerns, and then we won't actually overturn our entire system of representative government, so nothing bad will happen. There will be no cost to this effort. This is the cost of this effort. This is the cost of countenancing an effort by Congress to overturn the election and telling thousands of people that there is a legitimate shot of overturning the election today, even though you know that is not true. We have got to stop this. Mr. President, you have got to stop this. You are the only person who can call this off. Call it off. The election is over. Call it off. This is bigger than you. It's bigger than any member of Congress. It is about the United States of America, which is more important than any politician. Call it off. It's over.
We also heard from former Defense Secretary Jim Mattis yesterday, who again, as Chaps has said in his mind and a lot of people's minds, too little too late to be coming out now and speaking out. But he said today's violent assault on our Capitol, an effort to subjugate American democracy by mob rule, was fomented by Mr. Trump. His use of the presidency to destroy trust in our election and to poison our respect for fellow citizens has been enabled by pseudo-political leaders whose names will live in infamy as profiles in cowardice. Our Constitution and our Republic will overcome this stain, and we the people will come together again in our never-ending effort to form a more perfect union, while Mr. Trump will deservedly be left a man without a country. And then finally, Barstool's...
Wow, I didn't get to that. That last line. Whew.
Yep. And then finally, Barstool's own Frank the Tank. It's time for a new era of Steve Cohen. I would love to see a ballpark village at the Mets Stadium with a real Mets Hall of Fame building and a park for fans to gather. But also, the Mets won't sign anybody and Brandon Nimmo will have a negative four-run game in center.
Damn.
So, Frank, harsh words from Frank the Tank. I guess, pardon me, that's the wrong. Anyway, one other topic, trying to hold Katie jokes over here. Trying to lighten it up. one other thing I wanted to talk about, circling back to it, was the physical security part of it. Let me put my monocle on as a physical security secondary MLS.
What the heck? Plastic windows? What the heck?
Plastic windows? What the? So the nation's elected representatives scrambled to crouch under desks, find gas masks. Police futilely tried to barricade the building. It was chaos. There was no plan. Once it went down, there was no real plan in place. The mob.
Which is shocking because they knew it was going to happen. Like they've been talking about it for weeks.
This wasn't something that just sprung up yesterday morning. This was all over social media. This was orchestrated and talked about, as you said, for weeks.
And they had time, if you look at the timeline from when they walked down to the Capitol. But the mob quickly overwhelmed police. Windows were broken, and the windows broke like super easily. There's like an 80-year-old man just like plunk going right through, forcing open doors. A jittery throng coursed through the Capitol. They were taking their sweet time. They were posing with statues and lounging on the desks of senators. They were rummaging through the drawers and going through the loot of our senators and congressmen and women. A man in a wool Trump hat with a pom-pom on it and a rictus of glee carried off a carved wooden podium bearing the seal of the Speaker of the House. Another walked off with mail.
And no, that wasn't me. I saw some people asking if that was me. No, that was not me.
No, another walked off with sealed mail for Nancy Pelosi, while others marveled at computers still left open with emails on them. And that brought up the question, we don't have some kind of cat guard system going there. We don't have some kind of like, what's the Kyle, what are your thoughts on this?
So I saw it and someone did DM me. That was a staffer that worked in the building and knew all the passageways and all that. He said, well, that was the second floor. So yeah, got it. But still, everyone was up there. How the fuck did they get up there? And like, I get if it's the first floor, maybe you need windows to be broken out by firemen if there's a big fire and they got to get in. Second floor, you could probably put some stronger windows. Anyways, the computers, like one, they were able to just stay logged in with no one present. And they were probably unclassed. They probably didn't have, but they had sensitive information, no doubt, you know, contact information. And my weird computer cybersecurity brain is if there's a foreign agent in that group, which God, if I'm Russia or China and I have operatives in DC and I have this
come
giant
rummage through
group,
the Capitol day.
Yeah.
Come
I'm
on.
Like, God, you got free reign access to these computers. You plug a thumb drive in and guess what? The SolarWinds hack is like fucking kindergarten now. Now you got complete control. So why they didn't have some sort of a CAC system, some sort of, I mean, you can put USB, you can make a USB key that logs into your computer. And when you pull it, it's done. Or it's also possible, I'm sure they have some sort of an IT department in the federal fucking government.
That
has access to all these computers remotely. They can get into these computers remotely and control them because they have to push updates to them. They have to keep them secure. Why someone wasn't able to go in and shut the whole network and system down and just shut the computers down blows my mind. It's, I mean, we saw the SolarWinds hack and Representative Kinziger talked about it, but we still just do dumb fucking shit with our tax dollars as far as computer security. I mean, that's just dumb. Just fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And then also staff members and the way people were talking about it who were there said this was like a last minute, oh shit, we better grab these. Staff members grabbed boxes of the Electoral College votes as the evacuation took place. Otherwise, the ballots likely would have been destroyed by protesters. There's photos of these women just carrying the boxes out at the last minute.
Which is ridiculous. That's the way we do it.
Crazy.
Like it's a fucking
Oscar
nomination.
Nuts. So that's
real
nuts.
Quick.
I will say that's it was a really nice box though. You have to say it's a really nice box.
Can I give my physical security expertise as someone who went to both physical and electronic security school? We're going to need more squiggly serpentine entrances.
Yeah.
And I'm talking at least 15 squiggles. You got to walk. But even if there's nowhere one in line, like at a long airport line, you're like, oh my God, I got to walk through this whole serpentine. Yeah, you do. And we're going to need to raise the curbs by at least 6 inches.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my personal professional Chaps, more spike strips.
You said a word I just want to highlight, and that word was terrorism. And I think for the last two decades, we've had it in our mind what terrorists looks like, or terrorists look like, and what terrorism looks like. And we're so jaded that one way that you don't realize that, yes, what happened yesterday was domestic terrorism. And I think some people will be afraid to say that and say, no, that would never happen here in our country. Well, it in fact did.
So that, I mean, it is the definition of, yeah, it's the definition of terrorism.
To destroy the public sense of security in places most familiar to them. And
in a politically motivated manner. Yeah.
To us, then the United States Capitol building. Yeah. And it is fucking disgusting. Again, my brain was like, well, just point out the funny stuff and whatever. But I was heartsick yesterday and I felt rage. I was like, I want to be there. I want to get down there. Fuck. I just felt this like FOMO. I just wanted to, it was terrible. It was a terrible day.
Yep. Here's Brady Higgins.
Yeah.
Round number two is going to be brought to you by our friends at Trifecta Nutrition. It was New Year's Eve day. I got a box that came to my house and I didn't even know that FedEx delivered on New Year's Eve day. I thought they were closed, but they didn't. They dropped off this big old box and it said Trifecta Nutrition on it. I opened it up. There is legit like 25 meals in it. And my wife's face lit up like a Christmas tree. She was like, we're not going to have to cook or buy groceries for like 2 weeks. This is insane. We're just going to heat it up. We've been eating it every night, like since, like, except for New Year's Day. We've been eating it like for dinner and lunch, and it's been great. I'm actually surprised at how good they taste. I had the one that was, Kate, you might not like this one, but it was shrimp, black beans, avocado, rice. It was like this Mexican shrimp bowl. Unbelievably good. And then last night they sent these buffalo patties. We had buffalo sliders with
Ooh.
It. It was delicious. Make sure you pick it up because it's convenient. You could just stick to your nutritional goals if you're like, some of the other people on Instagram that are keeping up with Staff Sergeant Chaps Fat Body Program. This makes it a whole lot easier because you're not going to have to portion size yourself. They do it for you, which is super helpful. There's no wasted time cooking or cleaning. You just heat it up and just throw away the pan that it comes in, which is awesome as well. The Trifecta has an app to help you track your meals and fitness and a community of customers to support your progress. Make sure you go right now because you get an insane 40% off of meal prep with the code zero. Go to trifectanutrition.com/zero for the exclusive offer. It's awesome. Make sure you get some. Let's talk about buttholes. What we got, Kate?
Yeah, so round number two is just about buttholes. I guess you would think we talked about those enough in round one. Am I right, folks?
That's right.
But yeah, so here's a bunch of butthole facts. Number one, we don't have just one sphincter, my friends. We've got two. Yeah,
that's what they said. If you don't have one, you don't have two.
Right. It's two valves, not just one. The internal sphincter is involuntary. You cannot open it even if you wanted to. It is always closed up tight until it's time to poop. So that's your body's natural thing.
Well, that's a challenge to the listener. If you you can open up your internal sphincter, give us a call, 833-85-STOOL.
We want to know. It's a special gift. It's the external one that you have control over. So if you have to go really bad, that's the one that you can physically close if you need to. Otherwise, that guy's just hanging out all day. Number two, butt hair is normal.
True. Normalize it.
We need to normalize butt hair, guys. Let's quit all acting like we have smooth buttholes. Butt hair is normal, but no one knows why we have it because it's very inconvenient.
Can I tell you something about this real quick?
Sure. I can't wait. Please.
One of our friends has an OnlyFans. She just got divorced like a year and a half ago and needs some extra money on the side, so she opened up OnlyFans. She's an attractive woman, and she told us, she was going to stop because one of the comments on her for her subscription people like hurt her feelings so bad. They told her that she had the nastiest asshole that they've ever seen and that she needs to bleach it.
Yeah.
Yikes.
That'll when your asshole's it. Out there, I mean.
That's why I
wait. No, time out. I need to we can't just brush over it. So like, does this woman, you know, do you guys go to like PTA meetings and stuff? How does this?
We've known her since, I've known her since high school. So she's been like peripherally in my life for a long time.
Wow.
Oh, dude, I bet so many people within 6 degrees of us are on OnlyFans that we don't know that.
Especially if they don't even care if you show your face. I mean, if I was a lady and I had a banging body, you better believe my titties would be out there. I'd be slanging them things all over the joint.
Absolutely.
I'd be wearing
panties and selling them on eBay. I'd go running with it and be like, oh, I made it extra soupy for you.
Yep.
Looking like somebody dumped a can of cream of broccoli into my underwear.
Yeah, for sure, dude. Yeah, absolutely. So on top of that, butt hair, nobody knows why we have it, right?
Right.
Because it's not convenient. You're like, what? So we're trying to get stuff out of there. You don't want
butt hair. I
think
it's because of the fibers that are on like a snake's face where you can tell like what's going on.
Well, so they say.
Like cat's whiskers.
There's a couple theories. One is that we simply haven't evolved away from hair there because it doesn't really get in the way of procreation or anything. So it's like, oh, why get rid of it?
Well, that's presumptuous.
Two, that it's very true. If it's messing with your OnlyFans, it's messing maybe with procreation. Two, it helps conduct scents that our ancient selves relied on for reproductive purposes. Oh, he got that stinky ass. I'm in. Yeah, maybe that was a thing back in the day. Three, what's wrong with me? It helps prevent irritation or chafing in that sensitive tissue. So maybe it creates a little barrier between that cheap toilet paper the military buys in the barracks and your asshole. Four, fat-bottomed girls. A woman named Michele Ruffinelli is currently on record as having the biggest ass in the world, 99 inches around or 8 feet.
Good lord.
An 8-foot ass.
She couldn't even get in my fucking stock tank pool.
No, another woman named Sarah Massey is close behind with a 7-foot ass. I don't know.
Oh, 7-foot ass ass.
They sure do make the rockin' world go round.
True.
They certainly do. I don't know the logistics of that. If you got to really drag a wagon to.
Oh, can we go back? Because one of our favorite segments we've ever done on the show is poop knife. And yes. I tweeted about poop knife the other day. So many people were like, yeah, dude, my family has a poop knife too. The poll that I put out on Twitter came back at like 30% of families had one. One said that their son was 9 years old. And since he was little has shits the size of baseballs that are like perfectly round too. And they have to smash it up before so it'll go down the toilet.
Oh, dude, I don't want to put their name out there, but I have a little girl in my life who I love, who tiny, cute as a button, biggest dumpers you've ever seen. You're like, how are kids?
Who couldn't figure out you're talking about
so
your
big
goddaughter?
Who couldn't poop that big?
A little girl that's in my life. There's many of those.
They're abundant.
Anyway, huge poops.
It's red.
Who clogged up a diner bathroom once? Who farted?
Brick by brick, goddaughter.
The average person farts somewhere between how many times a day do you think, Cons?
Not enough.
I need to say something about this, too. I thought about it last night. I don't think I've had a stinky fart in months.
Oh,
like,
man.
Months.
I wish.
What?
I don't know what's going on. I try to think. I even asked Annalise. I was like, when's the last time you noticed I had like a stinky fart? She's like, I can't even think of the last time.
You might want to go to the doctor, dude.
That's freaking me out. Disappointing. I love like just to rip a SPD in the truck while my kids are riding in there. Did we go buy a paper mill?
One of the only times I genuinely, because we'll get mad at each other over like, we're like family. We work together so often. We'll all get annoyed at each other sometimes. Uh-huh. But one of the only times I was like genuinely like so angry with Cons was when he farted in that hot van at Daytona. And I was like, this motherfucker, this disrespectful motherfucker.
Well, then Cons tried to blame it on a rock too.
Yeah. He tried to blame it on a rock. His deployment.
Hey man, yeah. My stomach, the lining of my stomach is messed up. I stand by that. That's not my fault. Blame the US government.
I was so angry. Anyway, so we fart anywhere between 13 to 21 times a day. And chaps, 99%.
I will say that feels a lot. That feels like a lot. I'm just trying to think of myself. I wouldn't even think I'm on the low end of that. That seems like a lot.
Yeah, maybe some of them might just be tiny little butthole whispers. I don't think that's talking about big barkers.
Right. It could just be talking about whispers.
Chihuahua, not a German Shepherd.
Exactly. I've been having what's a big dog?
Great Danes.
I've been having Great Danes all over.
I've been having massive shits.
Yeah. Bernie's mountain dogs all over my butthole.
I've been having a couple Bernices happening. Anyway, 99% actually don't smell.
I think it's because all that stuff I've been eating from Chihuahua.
Yeah. So,
meatball sub.
Another cool fact, poop is actually not all garbage. Because in my mind, poop was like your body processes it and then everything in the poop that comes out is just
all
we
bad.
Don't need it. Well, actually, 50% of it is still in normal energy state. So,
yeah. Did you know some farmers that are off the grid, they will start with having, they'll build like these large barns and it'll have like a mesh type of flooring where you can have pigs on the top. The pigs will eat whatever they do, and then they'll shit it out, and they have like 50% too. And there'll be chickens underneath the pigs, and so then the chickens will eat nothing but the pig shit, and that's where they get their nutrition from.
It's like an animal-human centipede.
It really is.
Oh my god! What if I come back?
This
in the
chicken
next
tastes like bacon.
What if I come back in the next life and I'm a chicken in a dark barn? I'm like, what the heck? What's above me? What the heck? Smell like shit in here? What the heck? What did I eat?
What was that just dropped in my head? What the heck? That smells good. I think I'm
here. Hooves.
I don't
want to
eat this, but
the heck is pig above me?
What
the
heck? Pig shit.
Should I be eating this?
What?
All right. Yeah. Well, what's the next factor we got?
All right. Guess what? Look at your fingers, everybody. We all have our own unique little fingerprints. Guess what? Your asshole is the same. Mm-hmm. Your butthole has its own fingerprint, and there's a smart toilet out there that can read your asshole and be like, there's Kevin, and it'll hit your bidet settings and it'll keep records of your stool and your stuff and like let you know how you're doing because your butthole is unique to you. And that's why the next Men in Black that comes out, instead of getting their fingerprints removed, they're going to get their spokes removed and they're going to.
Man, that's going to burn.
It's going to burn. I'll tell you what.
They do it with hot candle wax.
That's why I think the next like porn stars bleaching their buttholes, I think the next thing will be spoke removal.
You think so?
Yeah. So tell your friend, get it. She can get on that.
Just cleaning it like one of those window wipers.
Yep. Just a little squeegee is all you need after that. You don't even need to.
Tiny little squeegee that you can get from GetRoman.com, which would be incredible.
Anyway, that's round two. I'm bad at my job.
No, you're great at it. Okay. All right, let's move on to round number three, which today is going to be brought to you by our friends at Rocky Boots. Rocky Boots is the boot for men and women who serve and protect the country. They are designed and built for in the U.S. for each individual branch of the military. Most recently, Rocky's been side by side with the United States Marine Corps. They built the very compliant boot. They have all kinds of boot. I've been noticing that they've been popping up in a lot of stores. Rocky Boots has taken off all over the place.
Yeah.
They're in Academy. They've been in Dick's. They've been all over the spot, which I was very impressed with. I like it when the brands that we work with get bigger and bigger. I think it's because they actually are good. That's how you get bigger, is that you're good. RockyBoots.com is great, especially when you can get it for 25% off, which is why I mentioned it, that you can get it from Academy or whatever, but not with 25% off. So you'd be an idiot to go down there and get it. Save 25% by going to RockyBoots.com and in the promo code ZBT. And at the checkout, you're going to get your boots for a cheaper price, and you're going to love them whether you're hiking, whether you're building stuff, or you're driving your heels. What's the rest of the ditty, Kate?
In the mud.
Drive your heels in the mud. That's exactly right. Or to the deck.
Stolen valor.
Yeah, stolen valor. Katie strikes again. Mm. All right, let's move on to round number three, which came to us from Task and Purpose.
Yeah, David Rosa at Task and Purpose. And Chaps, you covered this in a blog on Barstool this week, I believe.
I did, yeah, because I think that the Chief Master of the Air Force is absolutely awesome, and I love the way that she's going about shit, because anytime that you are the senior enlisted advisor for an entire branch, I don't care if you're officer or you're enlisted, when you say something, it essentially goes. Like, yeah, like having a major doesn't outrank you. Don't confuse your rank with my billet. Like, that's the old adage. That's the way it goes. If you get a call from the Chief Master of the Air Force and you're a major, you're a lieutenant colonel, you're a colonel, you're paying the fuck attention, because they have the direct ear of the commandant or the chief of staff, whoever it is for whatever branch. They have their ear. You're going to listen the fuck up.
And it seems like a lot of times, as much as shit rolls downhill, shit at the bottom of the hill when it's going up tends to get cleaned and sanitized, almost like it's going through a Boonies woodshed with pigs, and then the shit goes to the chicken, and then by the time it gets to the officers at the bottom, can't tell it's shit. So a lot of times the only way the higher ranks find out about the dirt and the shit is when posts go viral on social media, because otherwise they're never going to hear about it. Congrats to me for that beautiful analogy.
That was an interesting analogy.
Thank you.
No, I like that.
Thank you.
We didn't talk about shit enough in round two.
Yeah, we didn't.
Chaps, anyway. Quickly, Chaps, to your point though, it's interesting when I would get saluted by super high up enlisted folks. I always felt kind of odd, as if, I feel like maybe you shouldn't have to salute me. I get the rank, you're saluting the rank, but you've been in the Army 20 years and I've been here for a cup of coffee. This just feels weird, but thank you. I appreciate that.
That was one of my favorite moments for the second lieutenant, when a sergeant major that I knew walked up when we were doing some training, and the second lieutenant was like, "Sergeant major, are you going to salute?" And the sergeant major looks at him like, "No."
Okay. Nope. Any officer who says that though is just a chode. Like,
oh, and the second lieutenant saying to sergeant major, "Shut the fuck up, man."
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Relax. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, back to the story here. David Rose, a task of purpose. The Air Force's top enlisted leader is looking into an incident involving an airman who was sent a letter of reprimand and a letter of counseling, drum roll please, shortly after attempting suicide. The airman said their unit, the 460th Space Wings Dental Flight, based at Buckley Air Force Base in Colorado, was plagued by toxic leadership and all sorts of other problems. And the airman stepped up on Facebook to share their own horror story, and then other people started piling on with theirs. Chief Master Sergeant of the Air Force, Joanne Bass, said, "Base or Bass?"
I think it's Bass.
Lance Bass, Joanne Bass. Okay.
Oh, don't let her hear it. She's going to come at you. She's going to come for you. I wrote about that in my blog. She doesn't like that shit. You think you got your little fucking troll jokes, Kate? Come see me at my fucking office. Explain why making fun of my last name is so goddamn funny. How about that, Kate?
Okay.
Parade rest. Do you remember how to do that?
Chief Master Sergeant of the Air Force Joanne Bass said that while slapping the bass, said that while the incident, this is a serious topic, Kate, cut it out. Said that while the incident took place last year and the airman involved has since left the service, the situation gives an opportunity to reflect on the culture. The situation came to light on Friday when a popular Air Force Facebook page shared a message from the airman who was sent to a psychiatric facility for a week after attempting suicide with an IV catheter needle. The airmen said they were sent to the facility by unit leadership, not because they had attempted suicide, but because they showed up to work 7 minutes late the day after the attempt. After a week at the psychiatric facility without a word from leadership, the airmen said their supervisor and first shift stopped by to give them.
That's like their first sergeant.
Yeah. Stopped by to give them a letter of counseling for showing up late to work and a letter of reprimand for stealing the needle from the clinic where they worked. The first shirt, as the Air Force again calls first sergeants, is a special duty where senior enlisted members are charged with the health, morale, and welfare of the airmen serving under them. "I never heard anything from them after that incident," the airman wrote. "Never even asked me how I am doing after I was discharged." And if you've been in the lowest of low points, that stuff like that, like, breaks your heart. Like,
yeah, I understand a lot, but that is, I just don't see that happening, like, ever. Like, somebody's getting out and then the command is still like worried about you or like reaching out. I got to say, I don't think I've ever seen that really happen. Once you're out, like, people, like, the leadership moves on. Sad to say, but that's the way it is.
I don't know. I've had staff sergeants, and even my old master gunnery sergeant still from time to time will check in on I don't know. I got really lucky, I guess.
Well, that probably just speaks to the relationship that you have with those individuals and also to their character. I don't think that's the norm. I think it's what Chaps said.
That's the norm at all. Yeah.
No.
The Facebook post occurred a day before Washington State newspaper reported that a suicidal Navy sailor was demoted by his commanders after seeking mental health treatment. "Yep, that sounds familiar," wrote one commenter on the Air Force subreddit reacting to the article. The reprimand at the 460th Space Wing taps into two widespread interconnected issues that many airmen think is undermining the Air Force. First, mental health. They saw a record number of suicides in 2019 and a possibly similar number in 2020. And the second is toxic leadership that many airmen say is crushing morale along with mental health. Those two are pretty closely hand in hand. The post seems to have gotten some powerful eyes on the issue. That is where it was finally seen by Bass on the Facebook page. A user asked the chief to comment on the letter of reprimand. And she said, "I appreciate you bringing to my attention. We are looking into this." And in telling detail, dozens of Facebook users responded in the comments and all sorts of stuff. So people were really keeping this in the spotlight, sharing their own stories. And she is saying that we're on it. There's more quotes from her, but she's going to tackle this.
I mean, I would like to think if I were in any sort of leadership position and this happened, my first instinct would be to go to the mirror and look at myself and say, what have I done wrong that I fostered this culture?
What song would you listen to while you're doing that?
Oh,
Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror. Easy.
Hey. Bingo. Sorry. I should have known that. That's my bad. Yeah. But one, that I fostered an environment, one, where someone is beside themselves and feel like they have no other outlet but to take their life. But then two, that they, even if they are in that position, that they can't speak to me or someone else in a position of leadership and they have to go to Facebook. I think that's such a challenge now for leaders dealing with social media, that there's this outlet now where they can go and speak and seemingly feel like they have more support from faceless individuals on social media than they do within their own unit. So it's just really, really sad that this is what that came to. And then the military is just so warped. And it's like, well, forever, we've been given letters of reprimand because somebody was late to formation and you were late to formation. So you're getting a letter of reprimand instead of stepping outside the box and saying, well, why was that person late to formation? All right, maybe we need to excuse the letter of reprimand and address the bigger problem in the room right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that a lot of times we do things just because that's the way it's always been done. Yeah. And it's just beyond stupid. Where even during, like, you have an after action report, right? Like, so in an after action report where you're explaining what's going on, what happened in a certain situation, there was always a responsibility that if you were going to identify a deficiency, that you had a corrective action. I think a lot of times when they're filling out letters of reprimand in this case, they believe that that's the corrective action, where I think you should identify the deficiency and where the process breaks down for the troop getting the mental health that they need. And then you create the corrective action outside of paperwork and that you're guiding them through the process. And two, I believe that a lot of times leadership, especially in a place like the military, looks at it as a personal responsibility. Like, what did I do to get this person? When we have to step outside of that. And sometimes you just realize, just like a toothache, something that somebody's going through, like depression or anxiety, really has that spring that the source of it is inside their head already. And there's nothing that you could have done as a leader except for be there for them when they do it and not make it worse.
Yes. Yeah. To make it part of your job to know what to do in those cases ahead of time so that you're
and
ready.
It's shocking to me now in this current climate that it was a major, like, this is a mistake that I expect from a second lieutenant, first lieutenant, their first platoon, their first chance at real leadership where they have to do everything by the book. By the time you reach the rank of major, you should fucking know better. Like,
yeah,
you should have
some experience by then and know how to make better choices.
Because you're not getting that rank without being in at least 12 years.
Yeah.
10, 12, at least. Because you're going to be 5 years a captain.
I think it's like 8 or 9, because I definitely, yeah, well, I don't know. Semantics.
Whatever.
You're in for a little bit. You're in for more than a couple of years to get to major. So whatever it is. And then, you know, just credit to the Chief Master Sergeant of the Air Force coming, stepping up and setting the tone from the front. I really
appreciate
that.
She did this with a sexual assault harassment case where she saw it on Instagram and was like, good, I'm involved now.
Yeah. So that's great. Because I think so many leaders in the past, they would have just dismissed it and said, like, yo, handle that at your level. Like, this isn't big enough. So
speaking of big enough, let's move on to round number 4. We're going to get into a little bit of nipple chat.
Yeah, so two heavy topics, the Capitol and suicides in the military. I said, let's have a little butthole and nipple chat, not to take away from those topics, but it's just been a rough week for everybody. I feel
it
like
is.
I'm sorry.
Week back from break.
Someone, one of you three had the bullet points highlighted. And before I realized that they were highlighted, I thought somehow Kate did the background a skin tone with the bullet points so as to make it appear as if the bullet points were nipples.
Oh, now I should have.
Like right now, yeah.
Well, you know what, Cons? While you're at it, why don't you start hitting these bullet points? Why don't you stimulate a couple of these suckers for our ears? That's not appropriate. That's not okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Maybe you take it.
It's been a weird week. No, go ahead.
Nipples have their own sweat glands.
You can have sweaty nipples. Who knew?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that I don't know if I've ever experienced that on myself.
You never had two little circles on your...
No, I don't know if I've ever observed for sure my nipple sweat.
Well, I feel like
or
it's not
you're just for that matter. Hey, you could see a bead of sweat that forms on your forehead whenever you're working out or something. You could see it pop out. I've never, and I'd like to hear from the listener. Comment in the iTunes if you've ever seen a nipple sweat. I just need a yes or no.
Chaps are just not working out hard enough.
Just for the people at home, as Chaps is saying that, he's actually touching his nipples as he's saying it. It was
are they dry?
Which very sensitive lately.
They're so
I don't know if it's
because
I'm losing weight or whatever, but this is sore nipple.
He's still
pot.
Doing it.
The only way to find out is to strap on some sort of chest gear that has two GoPros facing your nipples while you work out.
Yeah. And if you don't do that, you're a coward.
You're a coward. Absolutely. All right, Cons, what's next?
They can be innies or outies, much like belly buttons.
Now, does outie mean puffy?
No, innies. Know. You can have inverted nipples that go in.
Shout out PFT.
What?
Oh, yeah.
What?
PFT commenter, big time inverted nipple guy. And he's got three of them.
Holy shit. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I saw this, and this was the first time I'd ever heard of any nipples before.
Yeah. If you have PFT has some of the weirdest nipples you'll ever see. No disrespect.
Wow. All right. Cons.
Some people have extra nipples. It's estimated.
Cons, who has the weirdest nipples you've ever seen?
I have to say that's not something that one makes note of in their brain over the course
bullshit.
Of their lifetime.
Bullshit.
Get out of here. It's guys have seen the down the Jersey Shore. Let me tell you, South Jersey, you see some weird dad nipples.
I think some of the weirdest nipples are the ones that cover the entire boob, where it looks like you go to the deli and you're like, what do you want? And you're like, I want the bologna. How thick? Can you just shave it? Just as thin as possible. And then you just lay it on there. You're like, I can still see some veins behind it in that bologna.
Well, as the pregnant lady on this podcast, let me tell you, it's some spicy bologna. Anyway, Cons.
One in 18 people have supernumerary nipples. In fact, Mark Wahlberg has one, which is surprising because he made his bones as a nearly naked model for Calvin Klein. So credit to him.
Yeah.
He didn't let that stop him.
He didn't.
Which, listen, a lesser man, that would have crippled their entire career. And lest we forget, Mark Wahlberg is amazing. One man in this world that we live in had seven nipples. Two normal ones and five additional supernumerary ones. A 22-year-old woman even had a nipple on her foot. If I had fat tissue, hair follicles, glands, and all. Fokker, I have nipples. Can you milk me?
Right.
I think having seven nipples is just a little bit overkill.
Right. I think six is tasteful. Seven is a little gosh.
An odd number of nipples? No thanks. Freak.
Right. Yeah. What else, Cons?
Well, the world's strongest nipples belong to the great Nippolini. And this actually, I can't tell. I'm going to read this. I can't tell if Kate just completely made this up or if this
you
is
can't?
An actual fact. Yeah.
You can't tell that Nippolini is a Kate specialty that she baked this is, she spent all night and then she was like, Eureka, I've got it. Nippolini.
I just picture Kate in her brand new, nice apartment.
Brick by brick
there.
Nippolini.
Sitting there like, ooh, the boys are going to get a kick out of this one.
All right, so the Nippolini meets pecs when you have nipples
he's
like
real,
those.
Dude.
The great
he's
real,
dude.
Nippolini, a.k.a. Sage Werbach, a performer who makes a living demonstrating the mighty power of his nipples. Each nipple can lift 70 pounds, and he holds the Guinness World Record for the heaviest vehicle pulled by nipples. That is 66 feet, and he pulled 2,179 pounds, which is pretty incredible to pull by your nipples. He also lifted a variety of dumbbells, anvils, and bowling balls, which you can get at the Barstool store if you go and look for a ZBT bowling ball, courtesy of my pal Carl.
Absolutely. I've been strengthening my nipples with two ZBT bowling balls, and I am feeling ready. So get yours today.
That was weird. And finally, in one 2009 study of 300 women's nipples and areolas, the average height of a nip was the size of one single beautiful, beautiful ladybug.
I love that. 0.9 centimeters.
Yeah, you got to round that off to a one, just a classic one centimeter. No, classic lady, though. I guess that's whenever you sell something, you're like, oh, I'm not going to buy it for $100, but for $99, you'll get me.
If you look down and you got cicada nipples, my goodness.
Or tarantula.
Right. Then you got to maybe go to the doctor.
Let's move on to safe rounds and alibis. Kyle, we'll start with you.
I just want to say I noticed an out of the ordinary amount of goatees on the men storming the Capitol grounds.
Yeah, we're the goatee haters on this podcast.
Yeah, I've been a long time opponent of goatees. If you can't grow a beard or even a respectable mustache, don't do a goatee. And if you can grow a goatee and a beard, why would you do that to your face? Anyways, it just, there's got to be some correlation between men who grow goatees and men who are just fucking idiots. So
who's the hottest person of all time that had a goatee?
I can't.
This is very challenging because I don't know that there was anyone.
Mark McGrath.
Did Brad Pitt have a goatee at one point?
If anything, it was ironic.
Yeah, but maybe.
It's just not. If you have one, let it go, man.
Yeah.
Let it go.
So
Ragnar Lothbrok from Vikings had one, but it was like long, like ZZ Top. But that guy is fucking so hot that it doesn't even matter.
I don't consider that even a goatee, though, when it's super long like that.
Like ZZ Top?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fights had a tweet yesterday. There was this tweet of a long line of people exiting the Capitol building as they were being forced out. And Fights said, not a single good-looking or well-dressed person. You'd think it was statistically impossible. And then people said this had Major McPoyle family exiting the RV at Eagles tryouts vibes. And it did.
Listen,
it truly did.
I am not a proponent of judging a book by its cover. I'm just going to say this. My experience in my life, in my 36 years, I have never met a successful, intelligent, or for that matter, a decently intelligent or even like remotely successful person who had the dental work of some of these people that we saw in these photos yesterday. I'm sorry. That's just what I've experienced.
I guess you've never heard Jewel sing.
Will Ferrell has some fucked up teeth.
So do I.
Will Ferrell. Oh, yeah. Will Ferrell. Bad teeth.
Look at my snaggle tooth. I got snaggle teeth.
Most British people, not to be, lump them all together, but I mean, look at them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now we're getting mean.
All right.
Kate, you started it.
Again, I know this was a weird episode, but the first week back from vacation week and just weird shit going on. Again, we're gonna be okay. Things are gonna shift. Who knows how it's gonna go? I truly believe overall in the spirit of America and that we're gonna be okay. Everybody take a deep breath.
You know what?
We're fine.
You know what? I agree with you, but it's not gonna just magically happen, right? It's gonna take some effort on the part of everyone to make that happen. But I do agree it will.
I look at on both sides, a lot of these younger and a lot of the veterans representatives and coming out as voices of reason in this now. And even if it's a little later in the game, whatever, I think we're going to be okay. And I truly believe that we will get through this. And also final, totally unrelated. I have a baby appointment today and I'm really excited to see the little fella. I get excited every time. So I'm getting super fucking pumped. So anyway, that's it.
Cons.
That's good. Yes. So I think, Chaps is serious on Twitter when he goes from his normal diatribe of jokes and whatnot. And he starts breking out words with a lot of syllables and it's very profound and concise. That's when
he uses laurels. You say, oh shit.
There are a lot of syllables being tossed around yesterday from Chaps. That's
when Pastor Chaps comes out, you say, okay.
From the farthest part of this auditorium today, there's one man that needs to come to Jesus. Is it you, sir? One woman, you, as the choir sings and people are standing and people are praying, you're coming this morning. Will you come?
Yep.
Just real quickly, the people, just bouncing around the Congress yesterday and sitting in the chambers and people's offices. I get perturbed when Chaps doesn't wear a jacket and tie when we go to Capitol Hill. So you can imagine how I felt yesterday seeing these people in
costumes. Now, don't you shit on that fellow that was dressed like Davy Crockett. I love that outfit. That was the best thing to happen yesterday.
And then lastly, congratulations to fullback from Army, Jacoby Buchanan, who won the very prestigious Lowman Award given out by our friends at Pardon My Take to the nation's top fullback. That is not an award that is taken lightly, and he is a very deserving, and congratulations to him.
Love it.
All right. Mine is, yesterday we talked about a lot of the frustrating things and I got a little fired up at the beginning of the show, but there's one other thing that I want to mention, because I've mentioned it whenever there was a lot of racial turmoil in the United States, where we talk about American exceptionalism and how World War II was the greatest generation, but we omit the fact that they were still very racist, that they had chow halls that didn't allow black people, but would allow Nazis to eat alongside. And I think that that is terrible. When we look at something that happened yesterday and we talk about how the Capitol building is this beacon of hope and democracy, we shouldn't do that without mentioning the fact that it wasn't built on the fact of democracy. It was built by slaves that were forced to do it, that were forced here. And I think that those types of things are important when we tout this 250-year-old democracy, when really women and black people only had the right for the last 55 years to be a part of that democracy, is really saying something. I think a lot of times we have to get to the place where we look at what's going on, where we understand the mistakes of the past and we acknowledge them. Because if we continuously ignore the ugly history that we have and not move forward, we will repeat ourselves over and over and over again, which is what we've been doing. And we've got to find a way to move to the next step. And I hope that what is happening here, what is happening now, where there was a lot of the senators who were going to object, who recanted that after what they saw yesterday, because there is a point in your life, there's a point in public discourse where you realize you reap what you sow, and you have responsibility to do better when you're one of the people in the building that was attacked yesterday. It's on the retreat.